Let's climb the tree of the multiverse.
It's not a tree, it's a wheel, man.
Let's spin the wheel of the multiverse.
The wheel's been done, though, don't you think?
Well, what is the cosmology of the multiverse? That's up to you, and tonight, we'll teach you how to make it your own.
That's how we roll. 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 That's how we roll.
Welcome to the Goblins Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're doing custom cosmology.
Custom cosmology. So we are teaching you guys tonight some ways to improve the cosmology of the multiverse for D&D and probably other games as well. But we're going to show you how to create your own universe. Multiverse, even.
Indeed. Just arrange it to your whim.
That's right. Move it around, jump up and down, and get some kind of unusual squashed shape, or make it a tree, as we alluded to previously.
I think it's actually just all Yahtzee dice in the hands of the Overgod.
Yeah, he's just rolling for Planet Vegas, right? Just a multiversal Vegas. But before we get to any of that, hit the like and subscribe button. Help us get our show out to more people. Get notified when more awesome episodes come your way.
Indeed. And hey, if you're listening to the show, you could do us a favor by giving us a review on iTunes and Podchaser. You know, click the 5 stars, help us out. We appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Make some reviews. It makes everybody happy.
Indeed.
Tells people about our show.
Yeah.
So Matt, why are we discussing custom cosmology tonight?
The first answer is because you and I are huge fans of planar travel.
Oh yeah. Love planar travel. Love about all the multiversal aspects of D&D. And I love that Spelljammer is out, the new version.
Indeed.
You get to play around in the astral seas a little bit. And this is the perfect time, we thought, to come up with a way to make your own universe.
Indeed.
I mean, we love the Great Wheel, but there's all kinds of really cool theoretics to make your own. And maybe you're writing your own game.
Depending on how you GM, like, you know, what your personal style is, how the planes interact with your world may have a fairly large influence on your game.
Absolutely. If you do like a top-down cosmology, then, you know, the multiverse is about as top as it gets. It's just like you're at the penthouse at this point. It's all downhill from this.
Indeed.
And so that informs how and whether your world interacts with the multiverse at large. Is it separate from the universe? Is it part of the cosmic whole? Is everything just inside a gigantic coffee cup to be sipped by the deity? Could happen.
Could be.
Yeah, we're swirling around in the creamer, guys. That's how it works. So think about that. What else are we talking about in terms of why we're doing custom cosmologies?
Well, in the terms of topics, we're not going to get into all of the various styles because literally everybody could have a style of multiverse concept that they want to run with.
Yeah, if you want turtles all the way down, do turtles all the way down.
Exactly.
We're going to have an example this evening as well, which I don't think many people have done. They probably have.
But not this particular one.
Not this particular one, which is fine. But we're also going to show you the basic methodology in creating your own custom universe. So let's talk about some first steps involved in creating your own custom cosmology. And I would say that a couple of questions are in order to create your own multiverse.
Sure.
This isn't Multiverse of Madness here. I mean, we've got some logic behind creating a multiverse, story-wise.
Right.
You get to the madness afterwards.
Sure. I mean, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, you're going to have a multiverse. Where do the characters live?
Yeah, where do all the people live? Is it the Prime Material Plane? Is it some other place? Where do they reside? Where do the gods reside? Is
sure.
The next thing you should ask yourself. Here's the characters. Here's the divine. Now, it could also be something like philosophical concepts, like the concept of good or the concept of cheese whiz.
Sure.
Which I think is a philosophical concept that should be added in a game.
Yeah. That's a plain of fondue.
Lord Cheddar, right?
Yes.
Yes. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go look up our cult. Where do the dead go?
That's super important.
Yeah, you got to have an underworld or at least some place for the afterlife. If you've got gods and you've got people, they're going to go someplace.
Yeah.
Think about where they go.
How are creative forces and the elements represented? Right? Because typically, you've got elemental planes that are separated. you could have one boiling soup of all of the elemental planes together.
The primordial chaos.
Indeed.
Or you could have just, you know, place fire, place air. You could get as specific as what they had in second and third edition with the para-elementals and quasi-elemental planes.
Absolutely.
Which we enjoy.
Indeed.
So, something to think about. Where do the creatures or monsters reside? They may not all reside on the primordial plane. You might have angels and divas and demons and Slod. Where did the Slod go? Obviously, they're at a 7-Eleven just hanging out.
I thought they were in Palm Beach.
Palm Beach.
I can see a bunch of Slod in Palm Beach.
Just hanging out. Yeah, sure. Yeah, they've got some
giant straw sun hat.
They got some khakis. They're drinking a daiquiri.
Yep.
I could see that. That Jimmy Buffett's place.
Margaritaville.
Yeah, yeah. They're hanging out in Margaritaville.
In Tropic Hawaiian shirts on. And
yeah, they've put their mallet down. It's just kind of stuck in the sand. That'd be delightful. What a delight. Just slowly turning other people into Slod.
Indeed.
That's what they do. How do you get from one plane to the next? It's another question to ask yourself.
It's very important if you're planning on having any sort of planar travel at all, including things like teleport or shadow jaunt or any of those.
Yeah. And that's really the basic questions to ask to start your own multiverse. For example, in the tree cosmology, and we talk about Yggdrasil.
Mm-hmm.
The great tree connects all planes that nestle in the roots and rest on its branches. So each branch or root is a different dimension, which is kind of cool, right? So if you're branching out in the tree itself is the connective tissue to the rest of the multiverse.
Right.
And that's a cool philosophy to play for a multiverse game.
I agree. I like that. I also like the river cosmology, like the river Styx winds its way through every single plane.
Mm-hmm.
And you can literally travel the planes by hopping on a boat and paying the ferryman.
Yeah. And you could drown in its waters.
Hey, look, I didn't say it's a safe trip. I said you could make the trip.
That would be cool if it's a physical location that every plane can have access to as well. Maybe only on certain nights. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
But it is a physically accessible way to get to another world or universe. And of course, you could do the Great Wheel cosmology, which is from second edition, if I recall.
I think that's where it started, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where everything's arranged in a wheel with Sigil at the center of the spoke, the City of Doors, run by the Lady of Pain. And of course, the Outlands are the hub of the wheel. Mm-hmm. And then all of the different edges are different planes with border towns, right?
Right.
And accessing the multiverse is as simple as just hopping in a portal, opening a bag of holding and tossing it into a portable hole.
Yeah, boom. Astral plane.
Astral plane. There you go. Every time. Have fun with the Get the Yankee. And of course, it's a little jumbled up, right? All kinds of stuff going on. I've got ethereal planes, got connective tissue, the great wheel and all that stuff. But that's fine. It's a working multiverse. And there are many other different types. I think tonight, Matt, we should build our own version of the multiverse.
Okay.
Let's build one together and with the people at home, although they can't talk to us.
All right. So what's our base premise?
An office building.
Okay. Okay.
I'm thinking of an elevator concept.
Gotcha.
So very similar to how the Mount Olympus planes are arranged in terms of vertical height.
Right.
We're going to have an office building tonight that is our multiversal concept.
Sure.
And the elevator itself is the connective tissue between the planes.
Makes sense.
So let's start off. First off, each dimension has a different floor in the great multiverse office block.
Okay. I'm for that. That makes sense. So realistically, right, you're going to go the higher the floor, the more elevated the philosophy. It's going to be good planes and such.
Yeah. And we can say it's a physical manifestation. Like it could literally just be an office block as the multiverse.
Sure.
Or it can be metaphorical in its layout, which is probably closer to the truth. But yeah, the higher dimensions are the elevated philosophies. The lower dimensions are...
And the lower dimensions, the basements, the sub-basements, the sub-sub-basements.
A lot of sub-basements in the lower dimensions, let me tell you.
You're going to have your evil philosophies and your evil planes, and they're going to be lower on the elevator.
Yeah. And then the mortals, they live on the main floor.
Right. And basically when they either die or learn to travel, they walk through the front doors.
Yeah, they go in. Well, they're in the building.
Oh, that's true.
They just go into the elevator, and the elevator takes them someplace, depending upon their alignment and their deeds. Oh, you going to housewares, or are you going down into the boiler room?
Right.
I think this is fun. The elemental concepts could be represented by rooms that are scattered throughout the multiverse.
Yeah. For an example, you've got water is the washrooms.
Sure. Or the plumbing.
Right. Fire is the furnace room. I feel like air would be...
the air ducts.
Oh, could be ventilation. I was actually thinking like patios or balconies.
Oh, the smoking section.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Sure. And of course...
because when you go downstairs, you don't need a smoking section. You can smoke wherever.
That's a good point, yeah. And of course, accessing the great elevator is how you get from one plane to the next.
Sure.
And it could literally just be a physical elevator that exists in the multiverse. Wouldn't that be cool? Like a bunch of adventurers, they're running around, they find this portal, and they open the portal up, and it's just elevator music. Dun, 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 dun. Maybe a little demon that is a bellhop.
And see, I was literally thinking, when you cast plane shift,
it summons an elevator.
The door opens.
Oh, that would be great, right? Easy concept to get to the planes, right?
Sure.
That'd be fun. It doesn't necessarily have to be a real elevator, but it could.
Sure.
Could be a real building where you access different dimensions and you wind up in a different universe.
Each floor is technically infinite, but the elevator is what connects it all.
Now, to replicate some of the D&D cosmology as well, there are soft spots in the universe, like rips in fabric of space-time or portals and stuff. We can represent those metaphorically by saying that they are stairs. You could just take the stairs up to the next floor or down to the next floor.
Absolutely. And the difference between the astral plane, i.e. the front stairs,
mm-hmm.
and the shadow plane, i.e. the back stairs.
Could literally just be that.
Yeah.
One is in the sun, one isn't.
Yep.
That'd be fun, right? Now it's time for something a little bit different. And that happens to be...
the question of the week.
All right. So hit me up. What do we have?
Okay. We couldn't go through, like, for the question of the week, we couldn't be like, hey, make a custom cosmology. That's just too much time. So where is the most interesting place a character of yours has traveled?
I will say, I'm not sure it's necessarily a character of mine. It's an NPC of mine. Okay. And it's a game that you guys were in. And we had a mathematical point in the multiverse, 0.0.0, when you guys were defeating an ancient evil, if you remember the chained one mm-hmm. that we had. And the idea was you had to go back into a point of time and space where it was the central dot from which everything else erupted from.
Right.
And there was a house there. And you guys fought the number dragon, remember that?
Yeah.
Dragon made of numbers. I would say... that kind of central location, like the literal central of the multiverse, and it just happened to be just rando house, like a cottage.
Somebody's going to put a spot. Look, with the way property prices are.
Prime real estate, right?
Exactly.
So I thought that was a really cool idea. I also love the concept of the Phlogiston, which I know probably doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think it does, but we'll find out now.
But, you know, I'm going to throw it back in someplace.
Sure.
Yeah, catching the vapors. It's always fun. And... we did a lot of spell jamming, going back to that again, that it was always fun to chase enemy ships into the Phlogiston and then ignite them.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it was volatile. So I would say this would be my answers for that.
Makes sense.
So what would be one of your character's interesting places to visit in the multiverse?
Oh, so many.
There are a lot.
So I love any place weird, so there's always that. Oh, the Temple of Ancient Gods in Dark Sun.
The Temple of Ancient Gods?
Yeah. There are a couple of temples in Dark Sun to gods that...
no longer exist.
No longer exist, but there are faithful that are eternally there.
That's cool.
I love that because you're in a world where the gods just pissed off, right? They were like...
in a world where the gods are angry... and no longer are taking your sacrifices, one man, one character ventures forth.
Pretty much.
Yeah. No, that's cool, man. I like that.
So I enjoyed that. And like I said, any place that is very weird for the setting it's in.
Mm-hmm.
Lantan and Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, it's a weird place. Weird. Gnomes are weird anyway.
Exactly.
Now, I'm interested in weird things that you guys come up with as well. Are you from a different multiverse, or perhaps your character happens to be in a different multiverse or visiting a different multiverse? Hit us up at Goblins Corner on Twitter. Let us know.
Tell us the strangest shit you've seen, the strangest location your DM has thrown at you.
The stranger, the better.
Indeed.
Yeah, let us know what kind of insanity has been come up with. Okay, so we've got our basics covered in terms of where the gods live, where the mortals live. We've kind of built our framework and metaphor in terms of a metaphorical office block.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need to talk a little bit more about the planes and their connections at this point.
Sure.
So let's talk about how the planes connect, Matt.
When you have planes that are interacting with each other, you have to decide, first off, are the planes finite or infinite or both?
Or both. Yeah. So you could have a mix of both, right?
Right.
You could have some that are infinite, some that aren't. And that's fine. Some of them might be morphic in terms of, hey, depending upon the will of the deity, they're just infinite. And sometimes they're like a city block.
Right.
And I think that that's one of those things that's really, it doesn't really matter from a player's perspective, but from a DM's perspective, it's really just a narrative tool.
I think if it's a city block, it matters to the players.
Yeah.
If it's actually infinite, then there's a certain largeness at which point it might as well be infinite, even if it's not, right? Like, if it's a billion miles wide, but it's not infinite, yes, it is.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, another question to ask is, do you have demiplanes or other planes residing in the existing planes? Planes within planes, like a nesting doll.
Yep.
And this is good for extra-dimensional spaces. This is good for stuff like bags of holding, portable holes. Where do you go when you jump into a portable hole?
Yeah, it's good for very powerful things, domains. Are they actually demiplanes that happen to reside in a plane, or are they
their
an
own
actual
universe?
Part of the plane?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. Where's Ravenloft? It's like playing Where's Waldo for D&D.
It's in the Shadowlands now.
The Shadowfell?
Yeah.
Well, in D&D, yes, sure. But where is it in your cosmology? That's what you got to ask. Do your planes access each other consistently, or do they drift? And Monty Cook had a really good book which talked about like how the planes drift and stuff in Second.
And Keith Baker for Eberron did a fantastic job of basically having sort of a running bit of math that tells you what is coterminous with where you're at and mm-hmm. what's not. So I really enjoyed that as well.
Yeah. And you know, if we're talking about like for DMs and stuff like that, the best answer for all of that is just whatever is necessary for your story.
Right.
When do the planes come into alignment? 2 days from now. So you better rush. When do they come in? Oh, I'm sorry. It's 2 weeks from now because you guys are dawdling along.
The planes move at the speed of plot.
Yes, absolutely. When they drift and when they come into alignment, we'll talk about conjunctions and overlaps as well. What happens when that occurs? And then another thing to consider when you're talking about planes, groupings of planes. So what do you mean by that, Matt?
You could group planes, for example, by elemental planes or by alignments, like maybe all the lawful planes are grouped and all of the chaotic ones, or all the good planes and all the evil ones.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the common ones are elemental energies, emotions, morality, matter, and then magic or just concepts.
I love the idea of concepts as a grouping because that gives it less of a traditional earth, air, fire, water elementation and more of a, this is more of like a story built universe. The concept of dreams versus, I don't know, hatred and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Sandman too, so maybe that's just why it's on my brain.
Makes sense.
Yeah. What are the borders to the planes like? Is it like a hard border where you just literally run up to the edge of the universe and you can't get any further, or you loop back around? Or maybe do they start to maybe bleed into one another as you move from one dimension to the next?
I personally prefer, just for me, I prefer the blending edges. That's something I like.
As you move further away from the prime material, maybe you get more wild and the Feywild starts to creep in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, this doesn't necessarily have to be distance. It could be you walk into a backyard and now you are further away from the rest of the universe than before.
Yeah, it could really be philosophical. If you have a city or a frontier town, right?
Yep.
That says literally civilization ends here. That's a philosophical statement.
Yeah.
But the people from that town, if they move into the tree line any direction except towards more civilization, maybe they immediately start bleeding into the Feywild because that's how strong and how morphic their belief and philosophy is.
Maybe if you get exiled to the Badlands, you're in the Far Realm.
Yep.
All sorts of abominations and creatures exist. That could happen. You could fall off the edge of the world. That also could happen depending upon how your world is constructed.
I love the concept of a morphic prime material plane.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be done even more. Finally, how does magic fit in with the planes? And what we mean by that is if I summon something, like a little monster or whatever, how does it get there? Where does it come from? How is it? Are there any transitive planes that connect it as well?
Mm.
What about like shadow magic or teleportation or any of those other things?
Sure. I love the idea that anytime you summon something, it comes from somewhere. If you summon a pie, you stole someone's pie straight up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, whether or not
some
you know
that. Some poor
bastard
is like, oh man, I was waiting to eat that blueberry pie. Wait, where did it go? Damn you, magic.
And this is how Fae get a bad reputation.
Yeah.
It's just things disappear.
Maybe the Fae steal and they're part of the
conjuring methodology.
Yes. There's just Fae that exist to steal shit from one place to the next.
There's actually no such thing as the school of conjuration. You're always summoning a Fae to get something to bring to you. And that's how conjuration
works.
That
would be a really neat concept, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, let's turn to our made-up office philosophy here, right, for the multiverse.
Sure.
So we've got an office block, and it encompasses the whole of the multiverse.
Right.
And this office block, again, high planes are good, lower planes are evil.
Sure.
So we've got like a good-evil philosophy axis here.
Right.
What can we do maybe with law and chaos? How can we fit that into an office block?
I think no matter where on the vertical axis you are, the further from the central elevator you go, the more you move into chaos.
Oh, that would be cool. So again, going back to what we talked about earlier, the further away from quote-unquote civilization.
Yep.
Maybe you're getting away from actual reality, and so towards the edge of the office building, chaos reigns supreme.
Indeed.
Yeah, all of the slot are looking out the windows, and they're just seeing nothing but eternity.
That's how they got the way they are.
That's maybe true. So the great elevator is the common denominator for all of this.
Right.
Which is cool. So it is like a central spire that you ride. And maybe that happens to be specifically the transitive connective plane.
Sure.
What else could we do with this little metaphor we're using tonight?
You also have to decide whether or not the floors are infinite or finite.
Let's say that they're both.
Okay.
And we'll put maybe different planes are actually rooms as well on a level. So, for example, there might be a demiplane, which happens to be a cubicle in the office building.
Sure.
You know, you've got a finite demiplane, which happens to be just represented by a cubicle, which is cool because maybe when you exit out, we're talking about the astral plane here.
Mm-hmm.
If you exit out of the demiplane, maybe you, for just a brief second, see an office block. And then you move into the next reality.
Sure.
That would be kind of neat, right? Maybe the plane of shadow is the space in the drop ceiling.
There's a drop ceiling in the entire office.
Yep.
So you can get to any given office by traveling through the ceilings.
Now, I'm going to say that for tonight's purposes, the planes do not drift.
Sure.
But planes can occupy multiple floors in our cosmology example. And we'll go back to the plane of shadow. plane of shadows on every realm.
Right.
So because again, there are there's space between the floors on every realm. Right. Plane of water probably is on every realm.
One would hope.
Same thing with the plane of fire, because there's some heating and air.
Yeah. And the astral staircase goes all the way up and all the way down.
Absolutely.
The planar borders, though, are a little more hard line for the vertical axis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's good and evil. But for the law and chaos and the elemental planes, for you to get to them, you can just open a door to the boiler room. You just go in.
And it could be, like, again, the different planes, if they're residing on the same level, you just open an access. Maybe you're in the meeting room, right? And that happens to be a different dimension for the purposes of this metaphor, which is kind of neat because that groups like with like. So you're going to have two evil planes that happen to be similar in alignment, or monsters. Maybe the Lord's Realms, like I'm trying to think of, like the Lord of the Goblins and the Lord of the Orcs might be in the same level of a office block, but maybe he's in one area of cubicle hell and the orcs are in another level of cubicle hell.
Sure.
The difference between advertising versus design, right? Or marketing or whatnot.
This means it's possible to access a volcano to get to, say, the elemental plane of fire, or walk until you get to literally the end of reality.
Yes, because there's hard borders for good, evil, and different, like, philosophical dimensions, but the actual, like, physical manifestations, if they exist in the world you're in, you can get to that entire dimension, as you mentioned, go into the fire plane. Or if I go to the bottom of the ocean, I can get to the plane of water.
Right. If you just walk to the edges, though, I feel like, and for the purposes of this exercise, right, the entirety, once you go too far outside of the office, is limbo.
Yeah.
I feel like the Feywild is all of the patches of green space in the office block.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I'd be cool with that.
Because green space is where, in real offices, right? Green space is where all of this silly stuff happens anyway, right? People put googly eyes in there. People hide behind stuff so that they can pull pranks. Like, that's what those accomplish in an actual office building.
Sure. And then let's talk about magic. So how does magic fit in all this? I would say that magic that creates dimensions builds a cubicle.
Sure.
So if you do a like an actual demiplane spell, it just pops a cubicle next to the other cubicles that are residing.
Yeah. And if you spend enough time building the demiplane, maybe you end up creating your own floor.
Sure. Nothing wrong with that. Magic that crosses planar borders, the summoning stuff, uses the great elevator because it's the whole transitive port. Teleportation magic maybe moves through rooms.
I was just thinking, conjuration and summoning uses the pneumatic tubes like banks
oh,
have.
Oh, yes. That would be great. Yes. It's in like messages and stuff.
That's the sound effect anytime you summon anything. Thump.
Sure. Why not? So we've got the way that the planes interact together. We've got our basic, again, metaphor for how the multiverse is structured. Now all you have to do is just flesh out the planes.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple things you can think about when you're fleshing your planes out, but this is not an episode on that, because that could be an entire episode. So what are some things that we would definitely want to talk about when we want to flesh our planes out, Matt?
Well, one of the things we've already mentioned is size, right? Yep. Is it infinite? Is it finite? Is it self-contained? Does it loop back on itself?
Yeah. Talk about shape. Could be a square. Could be a sphere. Could be a prism, a torus, like sigil. Mm-hmm. Could be anything. Could be a dog, right? Get creative with this stuff. Figure something out. It could be, you know, again, self-looping or self-contained. Doesn't really matter. What's the shape of the universe?
Some floors may have multiple levels, like the nine hells or the many layers of the abyss.
Mm-hmm. Is this a floor in the building, or is this a subfloor on the level?
Right. Because I feel like the nine hells is a floor that the elevator reaches. It happens to be a nine-story floor, mm-hmm. but it is only one floor.
Sure. Whereas the abyss might be just a well that goes down.
I feel like the abyss actually operates on just one floor. It just goes out into the chaos, though.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. So then it's just multiple cubicles in there. Talk about gravity. Of course, you got normal, heavy, light, none, and then objective directional, which just means wherever you happen to be standing is where gravity is. Right. And then subjective directional is wherever you happen to say, here's where down is, and then you fall.
That's the trick. Learning to fall at the ground and miss.
Yes.
Mutability. It's things like alterable morphic, or which is the ability to actually change the nature of the environment around you. Static, like the world we live in. Highly morphic, which is just things change on their own, whether or not something is exerting its will.
Magically morphic.
Right. Using magic to change the world around you. Divinely morphic, i.e. whatever god is in the area decides what the world is like. And then the option that the plane itself is sentient.
Yeah, and then you're at the whim of whatever that plane happens to be.
Yeah.
And then finally, you can also talk about the time. Is it slow? Is it fast? Is it backwards? Is it crazy town? Do you age in reverse? All kinds of stuff like that. Let's talk about our analogy again, since we've been using the office block. How would we maybe structure a couple of floors in this analogy, Matt? Let's talk about the ground floor. We said that the ground floor is basically the prime material, I believe.
Sure. That makes the most sense.
So I would say the various worlds in the ground floor would most likely be cubicles or rooms.
This would be the first cosmology where moving from prime to prime would actually be a easier process.
Than moving from the prime to a plane?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It would. What's in the sub-basement, Matt?
Parking, right? The first sub-basement is the realm of the dead.
I could see that.
And that's just where you go for decisions to get made.
You know, another thing it could be is the lobby could be the realm of the dead. Like when you go into reception, just kind of waiting around. That'd be kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Penthouse, we're talking about Celestia or heaven.
Sure.
That makes sense.
The lowest 9 basement levels is hell, with the abyss being out from those.
Yep. I see the break room on floor 4 being Valhalla.
Sure.
That's where all the creatives are. They're just throwing stuff around. Oh, we've got a break. There's snacks being thrown everywhere.
Exactly.
It'd be great.
Twinkies as snacks and weapons.
Absolutely.
Now, we've already discussed this. The staircases and access points are just the ethereal and the astral and possibly the Shadowfell.
Yeah. What would the manager's offices be?
The personal domains for the deities or powers that live on those floors.
Okay. I can see that. What about marketing? What do you say marketing would be? Definitely a hell of some sort.
So, carcery is the hell where liars go. And I feel like that's the second basement level, and that's just where marketing's at.
Sure. Well, why not? We talked about reception being on the first floor, the first sub basement. That's always fun. The filing room, I think, would be kind of cool. Or the mail room for Mechanus.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Or the computer room, too. Like the server room.
And they're also the people who maintain the pneumatic tubes.
Of course. Yeah. And then the interview room has to be the negative material plane. Because it just slowly sucks your soul out as you're being interviewed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Some other thoughts to consider. Where are the alternate realities in your multiverse if you have them? And then also,
I know the answer for ours. This is just one building in the office park.
Very true. Yeah. Perfect. And then also,
are there voids in space or time?
And what would that be? And what would that look like?
It's a plane of void. It's where the gnomes go to build their space shuttles.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you have it. Some easy questions to ask yourself when you're creating your own custom cosmology and multiverse. And of course, a silly little example, but you're free to use that if you want. If you want to build the office block multiverse, sure, go for it.
Absolutely.
I thought that was fun, and honestly, we might have to use that in a campaign at some point.
Could be a lot of fun.
It could be a lot of fun.
If you have any question, comments, we're on all the things, primarily Twitter. You can comment down below if you're watching this on YouTube.
Matt loves to talk to you.
It's true.
And I do sometimes too. Do you like our show? We hope so. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player, YouTube and Twitch.
If you could do us a favor, if you're listening to the podcast, click the 5 stars, give us a review on iTunes or Podchaser or wherever it is that you're listening to the podcast. On YouTube, click the like, subscribe, hit the bell so that you get notifications when new stuff comes out. It helps boost the show, and it feeds the hungry algorithm.
Just slowly walking up behind you in your cubicle and asking where the TPS reports are. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Have a good night, folks.
The Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples. Show song by the mighty D20. Don't we love that guy?
Sure.
This is a Subterranean production.